Our first scripture reading today is from the 51st Psalm, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right and steadfast spirit within me. Our second reading is James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. These are God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God.
Lord, we do thank you one more time for this sermon. We ask that you would be in the midst of it, that it would be a blessing to those who are in attendance and those who listen by podcast. We send a special blessing to them today, God, that you would touch them. Let them know you are with them, and we thank you for it. And we give you all of the praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I like to say, people do listen to our podcast, so I hear people telling me about it. So thank you all for doing that. That's a wonderful another avenue that we have to reach people with God's word and with his love. And so I am just honored to do that and honored to be here today. And as I said, I want to talk today from the title, Resist and Renew. So as we're going into the Lent season and we're celebrating, I'm wearing my mom's robe today because it just reminded me of Mardi Gras and it reminded me of her. So I wore it today. But as we're going into this Lent season, I want you to start to consider, you know, what you want to, if you want to sacrifice something or if you want to take something away or add something or whatever it is you'd like to do. But I want you to consider my topic today, resist and renew. And what I mean by that is the enemy comes to distract us. He comes to discourage us. He comes to stop us from doing what God has called us to do. But we have to resist him. And so the word, our first scripture, it's going to tell us to resist the devil and he will flee from us. Resist that enemy that's coming to distract you, to make you feel like you're nothing, to make you feel like you don't make a difference in this world. We have to resist him. But after we resist him, we then need to renew. We have to be rebuilt. If you think about it, whenever you do anything, any kind of a battle, because that's somewhat of a battle. But whenever you've been in a battle or whenever you've done something that kind of builds you up, you need to be renewed. You know, I think of like when I work out or something like that, then I need to drink water to rehydrate. I need to be refilled. Well, that's what we need to do after we've been in a battle, after we've resisted the devil and he's taken us through a battle of some kind. Usually it's of the mind. Usually it's that he's attacking our mind, trying to distract us from working for God, from living a godly life, trying to distract us from being a blessing to others, or from just believing that he called us or that he loves us. When he does that, you've got to resist him. He will flee from you, is what the word says. But then you need to renew your mind. You have to rebuild, to be strengthened, because you've been in a battle. You've been in a battle with him. And so that's what I want to talk about today. Just for a little bit, I want to share just how first we resist him and then how we can renew our mind so that we can go on. Because the word does say, resist him, he will flee. But in one of my scriptures that I'm going to talk about today, he goes away for a season, but he comes back to try to attack you again. So we have to keep, that's a battle that we do as humans. We do that battle of, we have to resist the devil. He flees. He'll come back again with something else. So you just have to keep being strong. Keep renewing your faith. Keep renewing your strength in him. And you renew your strength in him in the word. So our first scripture today is James 4 and 7. And it says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And he comes, John 10:10 says, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so I want to encourage you today that as you are resisting him, he's going to come to kill, steal, and destroy. How is he going to do that? He's going to work through your children. He's going to work through your coworkers. You're going to be like, why? Why are they doing this to me? You're going to be distressed in some, you know, in cases. But he comes to do that. He comes to do that. But the word says, but I come, which is Jesus. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so I want to encourage you today that as we're going into Lent, that you begin to kind of see how to resist him as he comes. How to say no, because we resist him By talking back to him. We resist him by saying, no, I don't receive that. No, God said I'm the head and not the tail. God said I'm above and not below. He says I'm his. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made by him. So I don't receive that from you when the enemy tries to tell you that you're nothing, to tell you that they all hate you. Your family doesn't love you. Your friends don't. It's just an act. They don't. How many times have you felt that in your spirit? Like, oh, they all hate me. That's the enemy trying to discourage you. That is not true. That is not true. And besides that, God loves you more than anything. Amen. He is so in love with us. And so we have to resist those thoughts. Resist them. We resist them by using the word of God. We combat it with the word. So it's important that we know the word. It's important that we can take it. And when you hear those negative thoughts, when you have negative come against you, then you can say, nope, get thee behind me, Satan. I don't hear you today. I don't receive that. That is not true. God says I'm above and not below. He says I'm the head and not the tail. So you have to just keep repeating those words. How many times have I had to just say, nope, I don't hear you. I don't hear you. Because he certainly will tell us that you're nothing, that you can't make it. You won't complete this. You won't finish. Your kids won't be successful. You know, whatever the issue is that you deal with, you know, the negative thoughts that come to your head, because we all have them, you know. So, but you know what they are. You have to use the word of God. That's why I gave you those little promise books, because sometimes when something, the enemy brings something to your mind, if you know that you're like, I'm feeling a little sad today, you can go there and grab that word and read that word and say, I don't receive this, Satan. I don't receive this from you. The word says, I am the head and not the tail. The word says, I am loved with an everlasting love. I don't receive this. That's our way of combating and resisting, which is what I'm talking about. Resisting the devil, resisting the enemy, resisting those negative thoughts and negative people and whatever it may be. That's how we resist. We use the word of God. I have a wonderful example of this. And it's from Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Now, it's a long read, but I love this story because Jesus really gives us an example of how to resist the devil. So Matthew 4, 1 through 11, and it says, then Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had gone without food for 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. Now I'm stopping right there only because he usually comes when you're at your weakest moment. The enemy comes when you're at your weakest moment after you've been through something. Then he comes to feed you, to try and tell you that you can't make it, to try and tell you God's not there for you. But this is what we have to do. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now, he's been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He's hungry, and he knows he's the Son of God. But he said to the tempter, but Jesus replied, it is written, he uses the word of God, and forever remains written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And that's what we have to do. Just like that, nope. I know, yes, I am hungry, but nope. He said, no, I live by the word of God. He said, we shall not live by bread alone. Verse 5, then the devil took him into the holy city, Jerusalem, and placed him on the pinnacle, highest point of the temple. And he said mockingly to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to serve, care for, protect, and watch over you, and they will lift you up on their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written and forever remains written, you shall not test the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory, splendor, magnificence, and excellence of them. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go away, Satan. What did I say? We have to say, get behind me. I don't hear you. However it works. You know, have you ever ignored someone and they're trying to tell you something? That's what we have to do when they're trying to tell you whatever it is and you don't really want to hear it. I don't hear you. You turn your head. I don't hear what you're saying. That's what we have to do when he comes to try and distract us, when he comes to try and discourage us. We have to tell him. He said, go away, Satan. I love that. I use the amplified version because it's so expressive. But that's what, I mean, have you ever told someone, get out of here, get away from me. I don't want to hear that. That's what we have to do. We have to talk to the enemy just like that because he's trying to steal your peace. He's trying to steal your joy. And no, as you go into this Lent season, I want you to go in and seeking that, saying, no, Satan, I don't hear you. I'm going to be faithful in what I said I'm going to do. I trust God that he loves me. He's my God, and I trust him that he's there for me. He cares for me. He's concerned for me. I don't hear you when you tell me no one loves me. I don't hear you when you say, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to make it because God is for me. So I got carried away. Let me finish the scripture. He said, go away, Satan, for it is written and forever remains written. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him. He left him. And angels came and ministered to him, bringing him food and serving him. And that's what I meant when I said he leaves you for a season. When you resist him, he has to flee. It's what the word just said. He leaves you for a season and the angels come and minister to you. And that's where the renew comes in. So first we resist him. And Jesus gave us the perfect example. I return to those scriptures often to just see how he used the word. He used the word to combat all of those negative thoughts and all of those temptations that the enemy was bringing to him at a very vulnerable time in his life. He was vulnerable. He'd been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine going without food that long? And then someone saying, you know, you are the Son of God. You can turn these stones into bread. And he could have if he would have chose to, but he didn't. He had to resist. It wasn't that time. And he had to give us that example of how if you use the word of God against the enemy, he has to flee. So that the book that I gave you guys at Christmas time or at New Year's is a tool. It's a tool you can use to resist the devil. So that when he tries to bring those negative thoughts to you, you can return to that and look for the word that will bless your spirit. Amen. And will make him flee from you. So that leads me to our next part. How do we renew after you've been through that? So you see the angels had to minister to Jesus after that. He was weak. He was in a battle with the enemy at his weakest point. Then he went through the battle. This and a mental battle. I mean, it's just as difficult. You know, as a fist fight, when you're really in a mental battle, it's just as difficult. And your body needs to be renewed. Your mind needs to be renewed. And this is how we renew. Romans 12:2. And it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to renew our minds. That's our renewal. We have to renew our minds. When the enemy comes, then you have to spend some time with God. You got to get into your quiet space. Go in here. You have a quiet space where you go, this is my time I spend with God. This is it. I have a closet or I have a room in my house that all I do in there is pray, or, you know, it's something everyone has that where they spend their time with God. After you've been through that battle, when you need to be renewed, you need to get into that quiet spot, that quiet place. It might just be your bed. It might, you know, it could be anything. It could be, I do a lot of praying in my car. It's just because I'm always in it, but that's my quiet time. No, usually no one's with me. That's my time that I can really renew and be refreshed before I go into the next thing that I have to do. So whatever that quiet space is for you, we need to get into our quiet space. We need to get into that time with God, that time where you're talking to him, where you're reading his word, where you're reflecting on the things that he's done, the good things that he's done for you. That's what it means by renewing your mind. You find a way to renew because you've been through a battle. We all have. You know, and the way the world is going right now, sometimes just turning on the TV can be a battle. It can be a true battle for our mental stability. So we have to remind ourselves that no matter what it looks like, no matter what's going on, God is in control and he has us in the palm of his hand. He has his people in the palm of his hand and he's taking good care of us. But we need to renew our minds. And that's what Romans 12:2 says. Just being in that state of, after I've gone through this battle, I need some time. Setting aside during this Lent season especially, I want to challenge you to set aside some time each day, to 5 minutes, to just renew your mind through him, through his word. If it's just reading one scripture out of that book, or if it's that secret book that's in the back, it's really cool. I've been reading it. It's really a cool book. It gives you, you know, a whole thought for the day. So if it's that, whatever it is that you choose to do, take some time to renew your mind, to refresh and renew as we're going through this time of Lent. My favorite scripture for renewing my mind is Psalms 51, 10 through 12. And it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit, steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit." This is just my suggestion. I added it. It's just a good prayer. I feel it's a good prayer to tell him, create in me a new spirit, create in me a clean spirit, a right spirit. I want to have the right motives when I go out into the world. I want to make sure that when I'm doing things to bless people, that it's not so that they'll say, "Oh, you did a great job." Not for me, but because they'll know there's some God in there. She wants us to see God. I don't want them to see me. I want them to see God. So I have to pray that, Lord, create in me a right spirit, a clean spirit, the right desires, the right motives. It's not always easy, but that's a part of being renewed, is that we pray and ask him to make sure that our motives are pure, that they're right, that we are truly desiring to please him in all that we do. We do a lot of things, you know, in our life. We do a lot of volunteering and sacrificing and so forth. But I want to make sure that it's for the right reason, that he gets the glory. In the end, that someone sees God through you, not just you, but they see God through you. So create in me, God, a clean spirit. That's just a prayer that I love that scripture, because it's really just a prayer. Create in me a clean spirit, a clean heart, a new spirit. That's just a way, my example, a scripture you can keep for when you're wanting to renew. When you're wanting to renew your mind. So as I'm closing, I have this song. I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to read the words because I can't sing it, but it's the words are so touching, and I want you to kind of close your eyes and begin to just hear it. It's a song, and it's like from God's point of view to us. And Lauren L. Harris sang it. He's one of the Gaither singers, or at least he was at one time. But it's God's point of view, asking us to come back to me. Come and spend some time with me. I miss you, is what it's called. I miss my time with you. So as I close, right before we pray, I want to read this. I want you to close your eyes and listen to the words and begin to make a plan for this Lent on how you're going to give him a little time. I'm not saying that you're not, but I'm just saying, in addition to whatever you're doing, that you're going to make a special time for him this season, this Lent season. And it's called, I Miss My Time With You. And it says, there he was, just waiting in our old familiar place, an empty spot beside him where once I used to wait, to be filled with strength and wisdom for the battles of the day. I would have passed him by again if I didn't hear him say, I miss my time with you, those moments together. I need to be with you each day, and it hurts me when you say you're too busy. Busy trying to serve me. But how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part of you. It's true. I miss my time with you. God misses his time with you. He wants you to spend, like I said, 5 minutes. That's not much to ask to spend and give him additional to whatever your worship time is, but that he has that time with you. Can you imagine what that feels like? I know I miss my Cherish when she's not there, when she goes home. I'm like, oh no, you know? And so I can imagine what God feels like when we're not giving him. We're so busy doing what we think is his work, but we're not giving him the time that he needs. So let's pray today. And I want you, as you go into this Lent season, and Lent, it starts on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, but that as you begin to go into that season, that you think of what time that you can give him. He misses his time with us. He misses loving on us and telling us that we are his that we're his own, that he's got us, that he's got us right in the palm of his hand, that we're wrapped up in his shadow. So as we pray today, I want you to just begin to make a plan, be intentional on how you're going to spend Lent and spend more time with him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you. You're so wonderful. We feel your presence here today. We feel you in the room. And we thank you that you are touching the hearts of each and everyone here, God. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your kindness to us. We thank you, God, for your mercy and the grace you show us continually. We give you praise, God, because you are a wonderful God. We thank you, Lord, that you have the whole world in your hands and that you are working out every situation that we see on the national stage. You're working it. You're in the midst of it. And we thank you. We give it to you. We surrender all of that stress and worry to you, God. And we ask today that you would renew us, that you will allow us and help us to resist the devil so he has to flee, and then you will renew us, God. We thank you. We give you praise, honor, and glory today. You're so wonderful, so wonderful. We thank you for your sweet spirit that we feel here in the room. God, we ask that you would allow that same sweet spirit, God, to go into the hospital room with Joyce today and Chris, that you would let your sweet spirit fill up that room for them, God, and that you would work that out in their situation, out and for your good and for their good. And we thank you for it. We ask, God, that you would bless Miss Marion today, God, that you would give her peace and rest as she's there. Let that virus heal up in her body. And we thank you for it, God, that you would bless Christy, God, as she goes through cancer treatments. God, you would be with her and hold her and protect her and show her that your love, the same sweet spirit that we're feeling, we'll cover her, God, as she goes into her life. And Lord, we thank you for every single person on our prayer list today. God, you know each and every one. And Lord, we pray a special prayer for Lori today, God, that you would bless her, God, that you would heal her body, that you would take her through surgery. God, that you would be with her. And we thank you for it. And we thank you, Lord, for sparing her life, God, that her car accident wasn't worse. We thank you that you were there in the midst of it. And we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory, God. We thank you. We thank you for all of the bereaved families that are on our prayer list, that you would protect those families. You would give them strength as they go through this time. We give you all of the praise, honor, and the glory. Each of our rest home, nursing home members, you would be with them and give them peace as well. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.